eased himself down in his chair. Ryan strode over to him, put a boot against the support pedestal of the chair, and shoved with all of his strength. Ryan then gathered a handful of white jacket and yanked the skinny man to his feet. The companions covered Floor and the surviving Sekhmen. Holding Hellstrom almost clear of the ground, Ryan shook him savagely.
You son of a bitch! You knew this would happen! You wanted it to happen!
You one-eyed prick! Do you know how close to death you are?
Ryan jammed the bore of the sound suppressor of the Sig Sauer against Hellstrom's underjaw and cruelly forced his head back.
Ugh.
Nowhere near as close as you, you scrawny bastard.
I just pierced one of your Sekhmen's ears for him. If he makes another move, I'll pierce his testicles.
Okay, Cawdor. You're annoyed. I don't blame you. I understand it, but there was a reason.
Ryan stared at the man for another handful of seconds, then released him. He stepped back, lowering the Sig Sauer, but not leathering it. Hellstrom uprighted his chair and sank into its seat.
Fleur, get on with it. We don't have all night. All right, Cawdor. I apologize.
It'll take more than that, Lars.
And I'll offer more than that. Normally you would be put to a slow death for laying hands on me. Or at the very least, scourged until you were crippled. However, I must make allowances for this circumstance. Yes, I expected the attack. And to some extent, I needed it.
Why?
Two reasons. First, I was curious to see how you people handled yourselves in a crisis. Very impressive. Very professional. All of you kept your heads. Which is more than I can say for my own people.
Is that why you waited so long to use the gas? Because you were testing us?
Yes.
You sacrificed an entire Sek squad for a test?
That's what they're here for.
What's the second reason?
You heard me tell the beetle that the harvest was delayed.
Yeah, so?
With a hand wave, Hellstrom indicated the corpses spread out around the campsite.
Behold the harvest.
The organs. That's why Fleur had such a hair up her ass about headshots.
Exactly. We need hearts, livers, lungs, and the occasional pancreas. Since I spared you people from the harvester's knives, I had to arrange a new crop from someplace.
You lured the Indians to you. How could you be so sure they wouldn't have harvested all of our scalps?
I wasn't. Hence the gas attack.
You know what's really sick about this, Lars? It makes sense.
I hoped you'd see it my way.
In the land of the ghoul, whoever has the most viscera wins.
Something like that, yes.
You're overlooking one thing. We now outnumber you. There's nothing to stop us from boosting your wag, dumping you here for the Sioux to find among the mutilated bodies of their friends and relatives, and continuing on our journey.
I'm surprised at you, Cawdor. You're overlooking one thing. A very obvious thing. Only someone who knows the correct sequence can start up the AMAC. If you fumble around, you'll blow it and yourselves to atoms. Besides, there's just enough fuel to return to Hellskell.
Phew. Pretty lame bluff.
Hardly. It's a standard security procedure to wire an anti-personnel device to the engine of a Sek wag to keep thieves at bay. I'm sure your precious Land Rover is equipped with something similar. Am I right?
You're right. So what's the plan?
We'll harvest our crop and return to Hellskell at daybreak. It appears that a few of our novitiates will have to be promoted sooner than expected.
I'm surprised you don't want us to fill the vacancies.
Oh, by no means. I have far greater ambitions in mind for you, Cawdor. Believe me.
Fleur and the battered survivors of the Sek squad had worked well into the early morning hours, separating the victims of head and neck shots from those who bore wounds in their torsos. Ryan and his party had claimed tents as far away from the scene of dismemberment as possible, without leaving the safety of the wag. But because their clothes still reeked strongly of gas, no one cared to share the close quarters of the tents just yet. Ryan had barely managed to get some sleep. Now the blue-black backdrop of the sky was broken up by the pink and orange scraps of approaching dawn. Ryan sat up.
It's alive!
I look bad, huh?
Well, you aren't up to sticky standards yet, but I can see the start.
The Sekhmen were breaking camp. The one with the injured arm was hampered by a makeshift sling. The bodies of the slain Sekhmen had been shrouded in canvas and were lashed to the roof of the vehicle. All of the companions were baggy-eyed and disheveled. None of them had caught more than a catnap. One of the sec men strode over to them.
Knock down your tents and pack them out.
You knock them down. The sec man's eyes were rimmed and netted with red. He probably hadn't gotten any sleep either.
You heard me, one eye.
Ryan stood.
I've got a better idea. How about I knock you down and pack you out?
The sec man doubled over, hands clutching his stomach.
Come on, let's get some breakfast.
After washing down a roll with a cup of the coffee, Ryan felt a little more human, albeit a very smelly, short-tempered, and unshaven one. Hellstrom didn't bother chatting with them, for which everyone was grateful. Two of the sec men sat in the control cockpit. The broken-armed man sat near one of the M249 machine guns, and Fleur sat beside the other. Since there was much more room in the back on the return trip, Mildred stretched out across several of the chairs, her head in JB's lap. Doc, who appeared so exhausted as to be ill, lay prone on the facing row of seats. The sun was clear of the horizon as the AMAC emerged from the mouth of the valley and onto the flatlands.
Cawdor, I'm naming you a scion of the family. Your official function will be to serve as warlord and advisor.
From the corner of his eye, Ryan caught Fleur whipping her head around in astonished outrage.
You will share the title on equal footing with Fleur. And she should not have any objections, inasmuch as you saved her life last night. I am correct, am I not, Fleur? My eyes didn't deceive me.
You're correct. It's all in order.
I appreciate the honor, Lars. However, I respectfully decline it.
And I appreciate your candor, if not your ignorance. Unfortunately, you can't decline it without declining your life and that of your friends.
I'm fed up with your threats, Lars.
Ryan made a move to pull his weapon.
Blasters! Always with the blasters! Put that goddamn thing away, Cawdor. I am not threatening you. By bestowing this rank upon you, I'm making you an untouchable, sacrosanct, blessed. You're protected. Understand? If you turn me down and try to go on your way, you'll be fair game for every bladester, duelist, biker, and chopmonger in the Black Hills.
Ryan opened his mouth to respond, but Hellstrom held up a hand.
I know what you're going to say. Just replace our tires, and we'll be on our way. I'm sorry, but the traditions, the protocols of the family must be observed, or I place my position as patriarch in jeopardy. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you.
What do you expect us to do? Stay in Hellscale forever?
Hardly. I have a business proposition for you.
Which is?
It's difficult for me to maintain the level of respect I deserve, because I trade with the four-time pigs in Lincoln's nose for everything we have in Hellscale. Some family members are a bit disheartened by the fact that our very survival depends on those holdovers from the time of pig magic. Believe me, the commander and the other freezy swine up there are a much greater menace to restoring the health of this country than Hellscale could ever be.
You're breeding a generation of chill, crazy maniacs. You're not a menace?
I need those before-timers out of the way. And I need you to help me do it.
How so? You've got a pocket-sized army at your disposal. They're fairly well-trained and very well-armed, aren't they?
Yes. But there has to be an arsenal up there in the nose. As far as I know, they may have guided missiles to nuke-blast Hellscale from afar.
What about a siege?
Same answer. From their vantage point, an assault force would be cut to pieces. There would be no more trading.
That's really what's worrying you, isn't it?
Of course it is. If we could stage a successful assault, we'd never have to trade again. Hellscale would have everything it ever needs. There's a vast treasure of tech sitting up there, just out of reach.
Do you have anything approximating a plan?
A germ of one. For it to succeed, it requires courage, cunning, a warrior's intrepidity, which all of you possess in enviable amounts.
Assuming, just for the moment, that we're inclined to go along with you, what's in it for us?
You don't seem like a fool, Cawdor, but you can certainly sound like one. What's in it for you? What do you think? You'll be rewarded beyond your wildest dreams of avarice. Blasters, wags, and an unlimited supply of fuel. If you're successful and you care to remain with us, you'll enjoy a position in Hellscale second only to my own. If you wish to continue on your journey,